So, as was the custom in the past 2 or 3 years, I recommended books for you to read, and I like to do that now. The books I recommend are books that I have recommended already, except I'm not entirely sure that you have gotten into them adequately. So still, Messages Given to the Working Saints is my number one book for you to study. And I use this word study not just to read, but to study. With your companions, by yourself, and just really get into the heart of it, the heart of it. Let me read the table of contents to you. The goal of God, or of the God-ordained way, building up the body of Christ. The practical steps of the God-ordained way. These are spoken to working saints. 3, the divine power of God and the precious promises of the Lord. And this is, of course, from 2 Peter chapter 1. But you have to really read this to see why our brother would want to speak about those things in 2 Peter 1. 4, the miraculously normal living in the new way. Number 5, the Father strengthening and Christ making home, of course, Ephesians 3. Chapter 6, the relationship between the working saints and the new way in the Lord's recovery. Number 7, give up the world, Christ to obtain. Referring to Moses and Paul, the two outstanding apostles and servants of the Lord, of the two testaments. And number 8, a normal life and service. So please do this. Then the second book that I mentioned to the sisters this afternoon is this book, All Ages. I mentioned this already, right? I did, to you, all of you. All Ages for the Lord's Testimony. You get into this. And then the other book that I asked you to get into last time is The Practical Way of Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding to Build Up the Church, something like this. The normal way, the normal and practical way of fruit-bearing and shepherding to build up the church. And tonight I'd like to give you 2 more. All the books I give you are not big, thick books. They're all short books. And because they impact my life so much, I want you to benefit from it, from them as well. Now, these, and all these books, or I shouldn't say all of them, many of them are given in the late 80s time frame, which is the time when Brother Lee was ending his short sojourn in the island of Taiwan, to work out what we call the God-ordained way today. So there's a running threat, you know, in all his speaking. There's a particular burden there. So the other two books is called Practical Talks on Church Services, Book 1 and Book 2. Practical Talks on Church Services, Book 1 and Book 2. Now, the reason I recommend these books to you is because they are Brother Lee's particular speaking, I mean in these two books, on how to serve in the present day church life. And those were given in 1989 in the church in Anaheim. And actually I myself was there and received much, much help from that in how to even administer a local church as a leading brother, and also what are the touchstone or the of the present-day service that we need to have in the church life. And so read those. They're all short messages in the books, so it's not that hard to read. But they are gems. They are just essential. So those two books I want you to get into after this this time. Just not practical talks. You're sure? Okay. You say talks concerning church services, book 1 and 2. All right. One is brown color, one is blue color, something like that. So get into them. Now, tonight, I'd like to continue the fellowship concerning what you do, you know, as the 30 to 50-year-old Levitical priests to take care of the Lord's testimony today. Of course, this is a overwhelming subject. It's impossible to cover it in one night. But anyway, at least in a succinct way or in a brief way, let us try to say something. Before I do that, I still would like to say a word about how to respond to a word like this weekend. I presume there is some response there, you know, some stirring, some maybe even a lot of feeling there. I used the word last night that this weekend, when we look back, may be historic. I hope it is. That means the Lord would have gotten through in some way as a kind of a new beginning. How do we respond to the Lord speaking, to his calling? I would say, number one, again, I'm just following the brother's help to us. Number one is you should recall, right? Recall. The vision, the past calling, and even the past experiences that you have up to this point. Particularly as a result of the visitation of his grace upon you in your life. It helps to recall. I recall a lot. And every time I recall, I was brought back to my betrothal to the Lord, like the children of Israel. How the Lord wooed me, how the Lord drew me, how the Lord courted me, as it were, in the days of the wilderness, and how the Lord engaged me, and even how the Lord married me, so to speak, recalling the Lord's gracious work in your circumstances, in your environment, at different times in your life. So this is the first thing. Number two, clearly you should respond to his new call. The Lord is not here merely demanding and requiring. The Lord is just looking for a response. And our responding to Him in a positive way would give Him more ground to do more in us. Every response leads to a further response from Him. And so I would just say, do not respond. You respond with your amen. You respond with your yes. You respond with your okay, Lord. You respond with here am I. You respond to His current calling. I will tell you, in every call of the Lord, He supplies the faith to fulfill that calling. In every requirement and demand that He gives to us, He supplies the strength to fulfill that demand. And then some. And then some. As the fight is intensified, so is the spirit is also intensified to meet the need of this age. The Lord would never ask His people to do something without giving Himself to them for them to carry out that requirement. So it is a matter of taking the supply rather than questioning the requirement. It is a matter of being pushed to access to experience that grace, rather than saying, this is too hard, I better give up right here. And really, that is the principle of all spiritual advances. There's no spiritual advance without more demand from the inner life, more requirement from the Lord, and feeling ourselves utterly impossible and unable to fulfill those demands, and yet the desire to do so is so intense. And that push you, that pressure you into what? Into a deeper place. To know the deeper grace. To tap a deeper source. To cease from living in a superficial way, or a childish way, or a minimal kind of a way. That's how our roots sink deep into this earth. And that's how we can bear fruit more and more. So, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid of this. You need to welcome this. So respond. Recall and respond. Number three, you need to renew. Renew your vows. I don't even use the word consecration. It's so commonly used. I use the word vows. Just as some couples at their ruby anniversary or diamond anniversary, the two old folks go out there and renew their vows. We must keep our consecration ever fresh, brothers and sisters, and vital and alive. by renewing our vows to the Lord. Yes, we spoke those vows once upon a time, but you need to speak it to Him again and again, and I don't believe the Lord will tire of that. Number four, you need to resolve. You need to make a resolution. Someone quoted the verse in Judges that great resolutions were made in Israel. Great searchings of heart. As you are before the Lord, remaining with Him, really those are the times to search your own heart, or let the Spirit search your heart. And with that searching, there should be the result of certain resolutions. You resolve. Well, I would say, talking about these markers, you should make a resolution. Lord, let's say you are 30. Lord, I make a resolution for the next 20 years. Now you say, how can anyone make a resolution for that long a period of time? No, you can. Even in the human life, you make a resolution that you will become that kind of person. You will make a resolution to carve out that kind of a career for yourself. You make those resolutions in the human realm. Why can't we make it in the spiritual realm? There's no reason. You know, we have a will. Unfortunately, that will is often misused to be hardened, to be stubborn, to resist, and to disobey. How about using that God-given will to make a strong determination and resolution concerning your life, concerning your future. In the next 20 years, let's say starting from 30, who was it? It was you, Brian, who said, time flew by from 30 to 50. You started out at 30, and now it's already... Fifteen years have passed. Just a blur, right? Just a blink of an eye. You know, my years now flies by even quicker than that. The older a person is, the quicker the time flies. So I believe in relativity, the theory of relativity. It's all relative. When the younger you are, I wish I will be 30 years old tomorrow, you know. And it never comes, as if time is just crawling. So 30 to 50 will fly by very quickly. And then your life is gone. At least the prime time is somewhat over. And you have given yourself to this or to that. Well, dear brothers and sisters, make a resolution now. Amen. Just make it. Who will keep it? You will, with His help. All right. So, those are the things, the main responses that you should have. And I hope you would all make this, and actually, I even hope that you will make this collectively as a body. Amen. As a generation. Amen. As a group. There's something about a generation, my generation, very, very cognizant of my generation, my peers, my comrades in arms. my brothers, my band of brothers, that we fight together. We are of the same generation, my peers. And some are still fighting with me today. There's something about that sense of the same generation with the same commission that we receive as one. Okay, so I'll just say this much on that. Now, I'd like to go on tonight. I said already this afternoon, the first thing in these pre-Levitical priests' service is the handling of Christ as a type in so many respects. So if you mean business to really serve as a grown-up priest, as a mature adult priest, then you need a certain kind of constitution. You need a certain kind of solid experience. You need a certain kind of makeup. And in this realm that we're in, tending to this kind of testimony of the Lord, it means you need to be more filled with Christ. You need to be more a Christ man, a mature Christ man. You need to accumulate, you need to build up a lot more experiences, both in breadth and in length and in height and in depth, of your subjective knowledge or experiential knowledge of this all-inclusive one, who after all is our centrality and our testimony. We have nothing else to serve the world with. We have nothing to serve the believers with except this Christ. So you need to acquire this Christ. You need to gain this Christ. You need to possess this Christ as the good lamb in so many ways. And brothers and sisters, that's our daily life. That's our daily life. That's our church life, to gain this one. My stress, however, is not just some general gain. It's time to be specific for reality. Amen. For specific gain. Amen. Of the Lord in specific areas. The general stuff is good up to a certain age. But for you to fulfill your duty at this age, you need something more specific. So your reading of the ministry, your being with the Lord, your contact with Him, all now must go to another level of depth. You must not be satisfied or contented with where you are. You must go deeper and you must go higher. And this requires you to abandon more things that you can gain Him in this way. I know this sounds like something spiritual. You may be waiting for, tell me some activities I can do. Well, the activities will be there, and there'll be an abundance of activities. But it has to start here. Otherwise, you will run out. You will, after a while, even lose interest. If you are not continually, aggressively pursuing Christ to grow in Him, after a while, even the church life will become uninteresting to you. That's why people stop coming to meetings. It's not just because the world is calling them. The world is luring them for a reason, because there's nothing happy going on here. The church life used to be exciting. Now it's rather dull. The meetings became boring. It didn't used to be that way. Somehow it became boring. Actually, nothing has changed. You may push all the blame to the church. Oh, the church is dead. The brothers are dead. The sisters are dead. The meetings are dead and old. No, actually, somewhere along the line, you stop your progress. And the church life is not that happening to you anymore. It's not. Somewhere else, there's something more exciting going on. I'm going to get that. And this can happen even at a young age. Basically, you lost your feeling and burden or passion for the Lord's recovery, for the things related to the church life. So you have to drag your feet to come here. Well, by the Lord's mercy, I must testify to you that even though there were hard times, there were turmoils, there were very difficult times in the church life, very, very challenging. By His mercy, I never lost interest. I never lost interest. I never would say the church has become just ho-hum, you know what I mean? No. Or even we may say the Lord has become kind of boring. You know, this is an old marriage. We wake up in the morning and look at each other. It's the same old guy, same old lady. And I want something exciting. I want another person. And that's what happened in marriages. They become old, that relationship. They become passé. You lose the desire even to sacrifice anything for this boring thing. Guard your heart, my brothers and sisters. The only way for you to keep that freshness is you're always going on. You're always aggressive. You're always growing. Amen. This growing requires you to be constantly having new dealings, new pruning of the old. Just like the husbandman doing it to the vine. Whenever there's a new wound, there's a new cut, there is new growth, because there has been some new dealing. Why, when you read the Bible, it ceases to be fresh, it ceases to be, full of light. Why? Don't blame the Bible, it's the same Bible. Something happened to you. The first love, where is it? The boiling love, where is it? It's gone. So you must keep pushing. You must go deeper. You know, I go to the gym and after a year I'm still doing, I started with 20 pounds, a year later I'm still doing 20 pounds, that means the gym is not helping me. But that also means I have not been pushing myself. You know, from 20 to 40 to 80, whatever you do, that means I stalled. And I won't get stronger. I won't get more fit. Do you see my point? Dear saints, the whole good land awaits still your exploration. You have not walked the length and breadth of it, and you're already giving up. You're checking out. Don't blame the good land. The good land is there. But you have to fight. You have to fight every inch of the way. Amen. You have to walk in it, which is what Paul charged us to do. Walk in this land. Be rooted and being rooted and grounded in it, walk in it. Amen. This is Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, all these aspects, there's no richer type in the Old Testament of this Christ than this picture. I know the good land is another type, but let me tell you the type of the tabernacle. Amen. And wait till this winter time. Amen. I hope all of our appetites would be wet. Amen. By this coming training. Amen. To go in every detail, every furnishing, every part of that tabernacle will stir us all up to pursue the Lord. 30 to 50-year-old brothers and sisters, you have to take the lead in your church to pursue Christ.
Amen.
So the whole church will follow you.
Amen.
The younger saints will follow you.
Amen.
This group of people, 30 to 50 brothers and sisters, something about them. They are never satisfied. They're always going for more. And when they stand up to speak, there's nothing old, there's nothing left over. There's always have something to say on Lord's Day that is so fresh. And that freshness, you know, behind it is labor. They don't take the ministry for granted, even they know all the words, they know all the phrases. They still seek for more. There's always something over. There's always more light and truth that will break forth from His Word.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, we have not arrived by a long shot. There's too much Christ to be gained. And when you are filled with this Christ, when you are gaining this heavier Christ, this deeper Christ, this richer and sweeter Christ, you now are ready to serve.
Amen.
You serve man, serve the sinners, serve your workmates in Google, to serve the saints, the people. They need Christ, but not a doctrinal Christ, but a process Christ, a Christ that you have experienced. The whole world needs this Christ. So to serve, you have to handle this Christ and be specific for reality. You cannot suddenly embrace all these aspects. Whatever is some current speaking, whatever book you may be reading, dive deep. Don't skate on the ice. I still say, stay with the Lord on one point until He gets through and until you get through.
Amen.
That's how I experience the Lord. And then you accumulate. With more and more experiences. Now, the second thing I would like to say is in this service to the Lord, this is actually a very big one as I was considering for this week, for this weekend. I just don't know how to fit it in. It's just something just been very, very much on my heart. And that is, brothers and sisters, to serve in this way, you must acquire a heart for people. This is a very, very major thing. In God's economy and in the Lord's recovery, in our church life, brothers and sisters, the focus is people. Is souls, is human beings. There has to be a fundamental revolution in all of our lives at certain point. And I would say this is a good point. To lift up our eyes to see just people.
Amen.
To serve God is to serve man. We serve God by serving man.
Amen.
The Lord says, I came, the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen.
The Lord himself came to serve God, no doubt. Am I right?
Amen.
He served God those 3.5 years. But he said what? He came here to serve man.
Amen.
I tell you, every day of his ministry, he was serving man. He was taking care of man's needs.
Amen.
He was with man. He was ministering to them. All he had no time for himself. No time for his own food. He has nowhere to lay his head. Yet in his heart is always man. And this, I submit, brothers and sisters, is a major cultural switch we need in the church life.
Amen.
It's time for all of us, all of you, this generation, to lift up your eyes. From any kind of navel gazing, from any kind of self-concern, to look up and look at people. Look at the sinners. Look at the unsaved. Just look at how many people are rushing headlong to the lake of fire. How many are under the slavery and tyranny of Satan with no way out? How many are bound? How many are spiritually sick? How many are brokenhearted? How many are like the smoking flax? Like the broken instrument. Rescue the perishing.
Amen.
Care for the dying.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, where is our heart?
Amen.
Virtually everything we do in serving the Lord has to do with people. Yes, there's the side of deaconess, the deacon's service, practical work and matters, the meeting hall, the transportation, you know. But I tell you, even those kind of work is for people. We must see people. We must have God's eyes for the world, for God so loved the world. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, I do not say this lightly or just as an afterthought. This is a main area that we need to break through in. The whole recovery. To become a people-centered recovery. And what is on our heart all the time is the well-being. The spiritual and even the material and physical well-being.
Amen.
Even psychological well-being.
Amen.
Of men, of women, of people other than yourself. If this is not altered, if this is not changed, I tell you, no activities will be what can be sustained. Gospel preaching, take that for example. Is it just an activity or is it a burden for man?
Amen.
An activity will stop. You just give up, nothing happened. I pass out a couple of Bibles, nothing happened. I knock on three doors, nothing happened. I tell you, there's no burden there. It's just an activity. This is nothing to do with eloquence. This is nothing to do with gift. This has everything to do with burden.
Amen.
And burden for man.
Amen.
I don't know any other way to serve. Except to serve men. Some men. In certain situations.
Amen.
That chapter, youth FTTA people know. By the way, how many here are FTTA grads? Could you raise your hand up high? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I would say 20%. Huh? And there are probably those who are not here tonight. Now that's a lot of FTTA people. And I will tell you, that means a lot. That means a lot to have so many FTTA people in one place. It's time, FTTA grads, for all that 2 years of learning to be put to use now. Those 2 years is not for your spirituality. Those 2 years is for this. So I give in my class always to read the book Character of the Lord's Worker. Am I right? What is that chapter? A Lover of Man.
Amen.
Chapter 2. Of the character of the Lord's worker. A lover of man. That man is not even just brothers and sisters. It's just man in general.
Amen.
God's creature.
Amen.
I feel the Lord's recovery needs to be an outward facing recovery. Looking for man.
Amen.
Seeking the lost.
Amen.
Burdened for the unsaved.
Amen.
You want to serve the Lord? This is how you serve the Lord.
Amen.
To care for people.
Amen.
That's how the Lord was. That's how the apostles were. You know, these priests, besides these Levitical priests handling all these things, right? One of the main things that these priests do, and we have not covered them so much, so far in the scriptures we read is what is to offer, to make offerings. It's almost like day and night, that's their job. Just offering, offering day and night. Burn offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, and wave offering, and drink offering, and all manners of other offerings, day and night. That's what the priests do. Did. What are these offerings? These offerings are many things in reality, in fulfillment today. And I would say these are the offerings that we all, 30 to 50, you have to handle and you have to make. That's your service. That's your service. And I would say, amongst all these offerings, besides them, the offerings being a type of Christ, which we offer to God as our worship to Him privately, personally, and also in the meetings. I'll get to that later. It is to offer man. It is to offer man. Day and night, offering man. Firstly, we offer sinners to God as the energizing priests of the gospel, presenting them sanctified in the Holy Spirit. The Gentile, the nations, as Paul did, to God. And these ones were unsaved. They were the pagans. They were the unbelieving ones. But through his preaching of the gospel, these ones were brought to Christ. These ones were saved, redeemed and regenerated. Now they are no longer just sinners. These ones are now what? Believers, even members of his body. Amen. And so Paul, the apostles, offer these ones as he traveled through the Mediterranean to God as his priestly offering, fulfilling his commission as a called priest. And listen, this offering of even one person is not an easy thing. There's so much labor, so much sacrifice involved, and therefore he said in chapter 1 of Colossians that he what? He taught every man. He warned every man that he would one day what? That he would not one day, that he would present every man full grown in Christ. Here the concept, the idea of an offering is very, very clear. So Paul, in his mind, in his thought, he was a priest, always offering one after another of men, one at a time, to God, as mature ones, as grown ones, as ones that would be good in the building of the body of Christ. Amen. This is his way to serve. Yes, he preached, he taught. That was his gift. That was Paul's particular gift. as an apostle, as a prophet, as an evangelist. But in the end, it is about people that he was dealing with. My brothers and sisters, I'd like to ask you, do you have the experience that people are so interesting to you? That you can fill up your life with them? Just like the Lord. He's so interesting to you that you can spend all kinds of time to be with this very interesting person. Do you have the experience that the same thing happens with other people? That your care for man eventually becomes food. Let me cite a case, the Lord Jesus with the Samaritan woman. He made a detour to Sychar, am I right? To so-called Jacob's well. And there he met this one lady. One unsavory person. Immoral person. He was just passing through Samaria. But he would care to make a detour just for one woman at a well. That's the Lord. No stadium filled with people. Just one woman, one at a time. And having that deeply interesting conversation. That if your heart is not there, you cannot carry on. And just, hey, hi, what next? The burden. Give me a drink. And so on and so forth. Eventually, that one lady got saved. Threw away her vessels, containers, ran into town and got the whole town stirred up to come to meet this prophet. The whole town was saved by this one woman, or through this one woman. That's what the Lord did. Now, if he had no interest in man, why would he do that? Spend the time with the prostitutes, with the tax collectors, with the low down kind of people. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Gospel preaching, shepherding, all these things would become mere activities if there's no heart for people.
Amen.
And 30 to 50 year old brothers and sisters, you ask, what is my service and what is my commission? I will tell you also in a mature way, this is what it is about. Brother Lee, in his last speaking on the vital groups, it's a book by that name, Vital Groups, 1996, fall. Spring or fall. Entirely on shepherding. Case by case, he spoke to us. Eventually saying that if this kind of shepherding or care for people, cherishing, nourishing, etc., would be recovered, there would be a great revival.
Amen.
Well, I hope you would go and read that chapter if you have not had the time to do so. And orient your life in that way. Pick up some people, some young people in the church, some junior high, some high schoolers, some college students. I said, even some full-timers. Full-timers are people too. And sometimes you don't know their need, how acute their need is. You're full-time, okay, they should be okay. I know better. How about the backslidden saints?
Amen.
How about saints that have not been coming?
Amen.
And of course, needless to say, how about the people out there? Now I come to this point, the Googles, the LinkedIns, the Teslas, the Facebooks, filled with tens of thousands of people. And I just don't believe, because Silicon Valley, because it's all this kind of tech stuff, that these people are somehow not looking for the meaning of life. They're okay. I absolutely don't believe that is the case. I think there are a lot of unhappy people there. A lot of wandering and seeking people there. Some thoughtful people. I know some. I know people in Harvard Business School. You know? Smart people that are just clueless when it comes to what is this all about. They just know to go to Wall Street, becoming the next Uber trader in some investment bank, or they come this way to join some firm in Palo Alto, venture capital this. Angel investment that. Many of them made it to the top of the heap. But no meaning. No real happiness. I know, because I contact some of these people. This is like the 1800s all over again. This is a gold rush. Everybody with their little, pick and bucket is in town, you know, looking for that gold and panning them in every river and stream they can find. Some got some gold, for sure. But I tell you, after a while, even that gets boring. Even all this exciting, new stuff. Gets boring. Am I right? Because there's something in the human heart nothing can fill but God.
Amen.
What about their future? What about their fate? And we're around them. We're with them. Dear brothers and sisters, the hearts are open. Don't take the lie. We've been blockaded not only in the bookstores, we've been blockaded in our head.
Right.
We have bought in this thought that nobody wants Jesus, nobody wants God, nobody wants the recovery version, nobody wants what we have. It's a self-imposed belief that is nothing short of a lie, a delusion. It's not real. I tell you why you are important. Because the word has to go out.
Amen.
And you all, one of your main jobs is to propagate this truth that we have.
Amen.
To those around you.
Amen.
I'm thinking that just like they're doing in Europe, you know, with these refugees, so whatever, give away the literature, so on and so forth. I'm thinking, when are we going to do this in America? Massively. At BFA, we give away, on the average, 100 plus 1,000 Bibles a year, just by what we do. You know, the internet, some of the 100,000. By now, we've given away 1.3 million in the last 14 years. And I can't tell you the response we get. The response, you know, people who... I tell you, there are a lot of folks out there 10 times more interested in the recovery version than us. Oh, than many of us. Grateful. Where were you guys, you know? Where have you been? Where have you been hiding? How come I never knew about this thing? And the books. Who's going to let them know? So I have this thought that it's just a thought, right? Next year, or year after next, I don't know. We would say in all of North America, at least let's say in the USA, in this 1 year, we will give away 250,000 recovery versions. Not 100,000. 100,000 BFA can do. We will give away an extra 150,000 or 200,000. In various ways, including in Google, everywhere, every avenue. And I would say, all the leading brothers, hands off. We turn it over to the 30 to 50 age.
Amen.
They will enterprise this. They will raise funds. You raise the funds. You work out the way to get these Bibles out. Then, let me tell you, you follow up with the people.
Amen.
And there will be people that are ready to be followed up.
Amen.
There'll be Bible studies here. There'll be home meetings there. There'll be one-on-one care over here. And suddenly, I tell you, things are coming alive. And every one of them not doing that as an activity.
Amen.
We are so burdened for man.
Amen.
You are so burdened for your compatriots.
Amen.
You ought to. They are your generation. You ought to be burdened for them. For their lives, for where they're going. For their souls. We just got a email from, you know, Philip Bradley, huh? You know this brother Philip Bradley. He serves at BFA. And he just wrote us a testimony. And you mind if I read it to you? Okay. This morning, I went to my Iron Tribe workout. I don't know what that is. At a nearby gym, you know? Okay. And it is often followed by a short Bible study I've set up. This is in Atlanta. I've set up with two of the trainers at the gym. His trainers. During the workouts, these two are loud and imposing, if not fearsome. But afterwards, in the office, as we open the Bible, they are as meek as lambs. Sometimes our Bible studies are really unstructured and wander all over. But today, whenever he wrote this, last week or something, I really wanted to impart something definite. And they are very open, so I pray this morning about opening up a life practice, calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for Acts 2:21 and the notes, exclamation point. In our appointment, I used the note to trace calling on the Lord from Genesis 4 all the way to the present day. You know that note.
Yeah.
It is like... I mean, it's a gem, okay? Okay, that's the note he used. The trainers were taking copious notes in their notebooks because they have only one recovery version, that's his. And at the end, I used their iPhones to photograph that note from the recovery version for them. Now it's in their iPhones. They both said that they have never heard of calling on the Lord before. This is Bible belts. Never heard about calling on the Lord. It's true. The best part came at the end. I told them we needed to do some spiritual push-ups. I said, I come in here week after week, and you ask me to do things I've never done before. I do them because I know you have the experience in this realm. I know you have my best interest at heart. Now, you need to do a new exercise that you have never heard of because I say it is good for you.
Amen.
They fully agree with that logic. And we went around the room and each called on the Lord three times. Is in the gym office, going deeper each time.
Amen.
Damien, the quieter of the two, who I have never heard pray aloud, looked up after and said, I have never done anything like that before.
Amen.
This is him speaking. You can help but smile afterwards, right? And Ben, the other guy, also was glowing and was very excited. I hope and believe they saw something concerning knowing the Lord as life, and even more, I believe they touched their mingled spirit.
Amen.
Afterward, we all three committed definitely to set a timer this week to call on the Lord aloud for 5 minutes.
Amen.
I honestly think they will follow through. But as the Lord leads, pray for Damien, 28 years old, very quiet, Afghanistan veteran, former Army Ranger. Ben, 33 years old, very seeking Christian, reads a lot of commentaries. Pray for them to call on the Lord this week.
Amen.
Now, this is one out of many. Brothers and sisters, it's time. USA is dying, waiting for real food. There's nothing out there. There's famine as far as truth goes. As far as the real experience of Christ goes. Many zealous Christians doing many things. But as far as the real experience, really knowing the Word, really knowing God, knowing life, no. The mainstream, mainline denominations have been dying for a long time and still is. Turning into houses and forums of discussion of social policies, politics, or go off totally into modernistic stuff or places of social experiments. The mega churches, not long ago, the thing, the mega churches, the band, the theatrics, the campuses that look like a mall, with everything you need there, including Starbucks. Speaking every week, prosperity gospel, self-help, positive thinking. People are leaving them. There's nothing personal. It's just big. It's a market. It's all about marketing, as they say. There are these house church movements, organic church movements, trying their best to have what they call a 21st century New Testament church. But I tell you, the real church life is not practiced just according to some pattern in the book of Acts. If there's no truth, there's no life, any kind of practice cannot be sustained. Eventually, it will die out. I told the brothers I'm reading a book by Frank Viola. And is it Dick Barna? One of the preeminent Christian research guys wrote a book called Paganistic or Pagan Christianity. And they deep dived and researched through historical documents and prove that virtually every single practice of Catholic and much of Protestant Christianity today, practice, ecclesiastical practices, Christian practices, all have pagan origins. The choir robes, the pastor, the priest, the incense, the icons, the seminaries even, the clergy, the laity, and on and on and on. They say, draw your own conclusions. We're not telling you what to do. But they did a fairly decent job, I would say. And this is all backed up by historical, you know, kind of a research. I tell you, it's almost the whole thing is a sham. I'm not here to point finger or be judgmental on my brothers and sisters in that realm, in that sphere. No. Many, many dear believers there, real, genuine Christians. And that's why my heart aches, brothers and sisters. My heart is broken all the time. I wish today I would have $10 million in my bank account. I will use every cent of it to get these Bibles and books out until I fill every house, until I fill every hand with the truth. What they do with it, it's up to them. Brothers and sisters, do you have that heart? These are God's children. Brother Lee say, I don't even care for the increase. I care for the feeding of God's hungry children. This truth, these life studies, these wonderful things, is not just for the recovery. It is for the body of Christ. And many of them are wandering without a home. Many of them do not know Christ subjectively. They know Christ the Savior. They know to be redeemed. They know to love the Lord. They even know to some degree to do things for God. But as to all these real things, genuine things of the truth, related to God's economy in this Word of God, they have no idea. Today, the Reform teaching is having a surge for some years now, back in vogue. Calvinism. This is going back to 500 years ago. Look at what we have. We just have a conference or a intro training in Brazil. I mean, you just go through those things. Those 9 meetings. The economy of God, the triune God, the all-inclusive Christ, the consummated Spirit, the eternal life, the recovery of the church, the oneness of the body of Christ, and the ground of the church. I tell you, I thought one item was missed. I may be wrong, but listen, dear saints, the New Jerusalem, which is the sign of all signs. It is the harvest of all the divine revelation in the whole Word of God. It is what God wants. And yet today, it's not that. It's heaven. The leaven of heaven, which most Christians believe in, and even unbelievers believe in. Suddenly, when someone dies, everyone goes to heaven. This top, most advanced country is like in the Dark Ages as far as the truth is concerned. Amen. The Dark Ages. Superstition. People who have, you know, sharp mind, Harvard, entirely believing this stuff. And here we are, Francis. I don't know what happened. We just got into a place where these dear, wonderful, top truth of the Word of God is open to us, interpreted for us in the deepest manner, in the most intrinsic manner. And we got it right here, right here. And we got these books lining up library. Book after book after book. Let me tell you one thing. Watchman Nee is accepted. Watchman Nee is popular. Thank the Lord for that. And as a result, millions benefited. But I would like to tell you, Witness Lee is not. Not yet. I'm burdened. I tell you, I'm burdened to break through that blockade. Amen. Because the children of God are cheated from that food. And I will tell you, Witness Lee's ministry is gone as ahead of Watchman Nee's ministry. And that ministry ended in the New Jerusalem. And Brother Nee never interpreted the New Jerusalem quite like Brother Lee in such full measure. Brothers and sisters, what's your commission? You say 30 to 50, 20 years, nothing to do? what? What are you seeing? What do you see? Even if we have 10,000 of us, there would not be enough to carry out the Lord's need today. This country, 315 million people and growing. And we are a mere 30,000 at best. It's time for a change. It's time for a renewal. It's time for a revival. Well, dear saints, you can tell I speak from burden. So look around. This is your Jerusalem, the Bay Area. This is your Jerusalem. You are to start in your Jerusalem. How about your neighborhood? How about your community? How about the people there? You say they're okay, they're doing fine. Well, you just go behind the doors. You find the broken hearts. You find the messed up marriages. You find the dysfunctional families. You find all manners of things, of needs. And we have all the truths. And I don't mean we go and dump these truths on them. That is unwise. We need some proper training. How to do it. Just like Phil did it. Right? And he did exactly what Brother Lee told us in 1986. Take the recovery version, the go bar, and open to a footnote and speak.
Amen.
That's exactly what he did.
And
with the skill, we open not just the footnote, eventually we lead them from that footnote to touch the Lord.
Amen.
To something more. And this kind of work is worth doing. We are not here to proselytize, but we are here to feed, to give. That's why BFA doesn't sell. We only give. No strings attached. No expectation you'll come into the church life. But we just give. And there will be some who would want this. But even those who don't, I'm very, very thankful to the Lord that they now have a way to know His Word in a much more deeper way. It's time for us to upgrade the knowledge of the Christians. No one else is doing that. All the commentaries, all these things are sort of old stuff. They're good, but the Lord has gone on so many light years ahead of that. Is there work for us to do? But at the heart must be people. You must be burdened for these people. I like to see this. This generation, your generation, would be formed into this army. It's time to pack up. It's time to march. It's time to launch out to fulfill the mission of the Lord's recovery. And you are right there. You are right there as that generation who are at the prime years to carry this out. The college age, they cannot do that much. They can contact their friends, bring them to the Lord. But this kind of work, oh, I like to see a prevailing gospel fire burning in the Bay Area. I say again, not as a movement or activity, but out of some people who are so vital and burdened for the Lord's need and the people's need. Now, one more area I want to mention, and I'll stop. In your service, 30 to 50 years old, and that is in what I call the miscellaneous services. That's why it's number 3. Well, I did not even have you read a verse, just a verse, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about caring for people. And we exhort you, brothers, admonish the disorderly, console the faint-hearted, sustain the weak, be long-suffering toward all. I tell you, this is the church life, caring for people. Caring for people. Brothers, when you really care for people, then you really begin to learn the lesson of patience and endurance. Because nothing demands that much patience as gaining a person for the Lord. But because you care so much for them, you don't give up. Saints, there's so many college. We are going to reboot our full-timer contingent. You know that? In Northern California, we should not just have, right now, actually, the young full-timers, we have only 17, no, 30. According to 1 out of 20, we should have over 100. And so, brothers and sisters, 100 full-timers, campuses. You can attach yourself to them. There are many ways you can serve people. You can serve with the young people. You can serve with the college. You can serve in the community. You can serve in the workplace. All about people. Everyone is busy. Everyone is caring for somebody or someone's. My, I tell you, we will be alive. Now, what are the miscellaneous I'm talking about? Well, I would say one offering to give, it's very prominent in the New Testament, is your finances. Yes, I'm asking for money. Shamelessly. I'm past the point of being embarrassed talking about money. So you're called money-making full-timers. I always like to change that to money-giving full-timers. Big difference. You may make, but not give. Or you may not give proportionate to what you make. Then we owe the Lord. I mean, I don't know who can live in San Francisco now. But people still move to San Francisco and live there. That means they must have something. Or up and down West Peninsula. Or now East Peninsula as well. I tell you, this whole matter of finance requires another time just to talk about it. But let me just say this. The finance material, the finances, is considered a sweet odor to Paul. An offering of sweet odor unto God. That's in the New Testament. So what do the priests do to give in handling these offerings? Is to give the finances. If the Lord's move is going to really, really make a major step forward, there will be the need for finances. There will be need for more men. There will be need for more money. That's my M&M. To facilitate the Lord's move. And some people say, when I make money, I'll give it to the Lord. I found a lot of times those were blank checks. Not blank checks. Those were bounce checks. Yes. It's not true. They just say it. To soothe their conscience for a while to go do whatever they want to do. No intention to give to the Lord. You owe the Lord. The Lord gave you this job. The Lord gave you this money. Yes, you have to support yourself. That's legitimate. But tithing, giving the top 10 to the Lord, is but a minimum. Minimum is tithing, not maximum. One-tenth, not just one-tenth, the top 10th is minimum. That's another way to serve. And I tell you, giving is spiritual. It's not just some fundraising or, you know, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual transaction. It's an offering to God that even God could not do, even He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. To support the Lord's work, to support the Lord's servants, to support the full-timers, to support the Lord's move. My, if all this generation, the working saints, are delivered and saved from the love of mammon and are faithful to give to the Lord. Liberal, generous, hilariously. The Greek word is hilaron. Crazily. My, you will see the Lord move. You will see the Lord pour out a blessing. If you would bring your tithes to my storehouse, watch and see, prove me, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you cannot even contain. Prove me, he said. Test me, he said. And besides this, there are, of course, actually, I should not say miscellaneous. It's wrong word. So better strike that from the tape or whatever. Okay. I would like to tell you, you'd like to know how to offer, how to serve as Levitical, as priests. Offer your praise, your prophecy in the meetings. One way to serve the Lord is to serve the Lord in the tent of meetings, in the meetings of the church, to make those meetings attractive, rich, powerful. So when people who got our recovery versions, shepherded by us, when they come, they will say, God is here. Amen. They will not say, this is a dead place. The picture doesn't match the book. You know what I mean? The book says something so wonderful, so high, when I come here, goodness, what is this? It was not like this in the old days. They read the book, they came and say, it matched. I'm in. We gain people many times overnight. One meeting, people are gained. They've been reading. They've been caught by the truth already. Now they just see the real thing. That's it. And we've not seen that for a long time. Because our meetings are dragging, slow, non-functioning. Even our prophesying meeting is becoming old. Just old. Opening word, closing word, whatever. Old. We need a revival in the 1 Corinthians 14 meeting. Each one has. It's not like necessarily how we practice it today. We need a revival of all of these things of the God-ordained way. Saints, you want to be a fighter? You have to exercise your spirit regardless. In the meeting. How about the Lord's Day table? Many of our Lord's table are just, sorry to say, even I don't want to come. And when I come, I have to lift it. I have to pull this cow up to the tree. Nobody praised the Lord like, what are we doing here? We came here to praise the Lord. Amen. Not to sit there and spectate. This is His table. This is in remembrance of Him. And I like to give sometime a training on praise. Not a conference, a training on praise, which is higher than prayer. We've lost the art, the practice of praising the Lord. And the worship of the Father. The same brother calling the hymns, and also the same number of hymns. Our repertoire is so small. And there's so many rich hymns, never call. And after we call them, we just go through them, so-called, read them. And then wait for the next hymn. Embarrassingly, nobody called the next hymn. Dead silence ensued. Everyone look at the watch. What kind of meeting is that? We have lost a lot of ground in our meeting life. We have degenerated somewhat to the traditional way. Brothers and sisters, it's your turn. It's too much to do. The prayer meeting. The prophecy, are you really, really, really bringing a real prophecy that you really got into? Or you just wing it? Because you've been around, you know all the vocabulary, you just put a few words together, and that's a pretty good prophecy. You never worked on it. You never labored. There's not much light there, not much life there. And saints, oh, these are the elders' job. No, it's not. It is the job of the 25 to 50-year-old. That's what I did. Okay. Now to the miscellaneous, the various services in the church, the business office, the book room, the chair arranging, the ushering, the AV, all these practical matters someone has to oversee, someone has to bear some responsibility, and that is certainly a deacon or deaconess's area that it is somewhat part of our service. The eldership, which is a huge big subject, of course. Okay, I better end here, brothers and sisters. The Lord's recovery has some ways to go. And we are in desperate need of a new generation to rise up, not in word, but in fact. To revive it, to renew it. I hope to see before I die an unprecedented revival.
Amen.
In his recovery, and particularly in the United States.
Amen.
It's 53 years now, half a century. More than twice of some of your ages. That's how long the recovery has been here. Brother Lee longed for that prior to his departure, to be with the Lord. And he never seen it. I want to bring it in.
Amen.
I want to bring this revival in.
Amen.
I will pour out my life, the rest of my life, for this.
Amen.
I have my marker. It's your turn, brothers and sisters. It's up to you. Okay, I stop here.